Evening, lovely small groups. On Sunday at our central services, I finished our foundation series. Over the course of this term, we have been looking at each of our five values. In fact, why not give an extra biscuit to the person in your group this evening who can name all five of our values? I'll give you one of them because it's what we were looking at on Sunday, shameless worship. And that's what we were looking at as we finished this foundation series, shameless worship. We are passionate about worship in the Vineyard. The Westminster Catechism tells us that the chief end of man is to worship God and glorify him forever. And that is our primary purpose as God's creation, to worship him. And we want to be a community of shameless worshippers. And so as I talked about worship on Sunday, what I really wanted to kind of think about is what it means to be a community of shameless worshippers, the importance of worshipping together as a community, what it does in us and through us when we come together deliberately to worship God together. And with that in mind, I was looking in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 12. If you know Revelation at all, you know that it's crackers, but a wonderful book, deeply pastoral, actually, I've come to realise. But the Apostle John is, to use his words, he is out in the Spirit. He is full of the Spirit, and he has a vision or visions of the future. It's like the curtain is pulled back into the throne room of heaven, and he just has this amazing vision. It's not always easy to understand the book of Revelation, but it is amazing. And we were looking at these beautiful verses, Revelation 7, as I said, 9 to 12. This moment where there is this great multitude of people dressed in white, and it says they are too many to number, and they are crying out in their worship. Have a look at those verses this evening in your group, perhaps. But it is this beautiful picture of heaven. And actually you'll see, as you look at those verses, it's not just this multitude of people worshipping. You've also got the angels, you've got these four living creatures, you've got these elders. They're symbolic, but basically what's symbolized there in this kind of picture that we have here in Revelation 7 is that everything that God has ever created, all of heaven and earth, are worshipping him as king. And he is right in the middle being worshipped as king. And this is a glimpse of the future. This is what awaits us one day as followers of Jesus, that one day we will be in that great multitude, worshipping him, dressed in white, waving palm branches. That is what awaits us. But it's also what we can encounter now. You know, we are a people of the kingdom. We believe that the future, heaven, breaks in to our now. That's what it means to talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, heaven, breaks in now. So when we worship, I mean, you might have had moments, share maybe in your group this evening, moments where you've worshipped and it's like you've just experienced a glimpse of heaven. And if you've ever had that, you'll know you just never wanted it to stop, because it's what you are made to do. And just to be there in his presence. I talked about his manifest presence. Like in some ways, God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. But when we worship, it's like his manifest presence is there. And what we mean by that is he is there in a way that he is made known to us, that we sense him even more deeply, and we realize that we are known by him. And that's often what happens when we worship, is we experience, we're just aware of his presence. We understand something of God and his heart, his character, when we worship. But it's also we realize that we are deeply known. And for many people that come to church maybe for the first time, that's the thing that impacts them the most, is being in his presence and just that sense of, whoa, what is that? Well, it's God making himself known to you and showing you that you are deeply known by him. So that's kind of what happens when we worship, when we give our hearts, our souls, our minds, our bodies just open to God as we worship him and declare that he is king in the center, worthy to be praised. So then I spent some time thinking about 3 points of what happens when we worship God. Well, firstly, that God is put back on the throne in our lives. Now, we are all made to worship something. So I'm not talking about whether to worship or not. I'm talking about who or what are you going to worship? And we all, as human beings, are like hardwired to worship something. So what is it that you're going to worship? We all worship something. And I suppose the question is, are you worshiping something other than God in your heart? Does something else take preference over them? Does your life revolve around something that isn't the Lord? So we are called to worship God, to put him back on his rightful place on the throne, just like in that vision John has in Revelation. He is to be on the throne and we are to give him all of our worship. Ultimately, that means that worship isn't actually about us. We can often come to worship and be like, oh, do I like the songs? Or what did I get out of worship this morning? Or it doesn't matter if I'm late because, you know, it's only a bit of worship I'm going to miss. Worship is actually all for God. It's all to him and it's all for him. It's not ultimately about us. Treasured in love, though we are, worship is about him. We are to give him all the glory. When we worship, it is for him, to praise him forever. And I don't say that to kind of shame anyone. We've all said those things, you know, where we've kind of maybe made worship a bit more about us. Actually, I think it's deeply reassuring. Like, to be in the presence of God is deeply reassuring. It is a relief to come down off those thrones that we've built for ourselves, to be like, do you know what, you are God and I am not. And often, I know for me in times of worship, it is a deep relief to remember that he is God and that I am not. So that's the first thing, God is on the throne. Secondly, he is enthroned and we are transformed. There's something deeply reassuring about encountering his presence in worship. There's also something deeply transforming about encountering his presence in worship, that we are transformed. We all worship something, and it's also true to say you become like that which you worship. We all become like that which we worship. We become like Jesus as we worship. And if you look in those verses, you'll see that the multitude is dressed in white. And the Lamb is there, that's Jesus, showing that he has been slain. And he is there as a reminder that when we approach the throne of God in worship, Hebrews tells us that it's a throne of grace that we approach when we approach God in worship, that we come shame-free. That's why it's shameless worshippers. We are unashamed to worship Jesus, but we also come shame-free because of what he has done for us. And that is deeply transforming. That is our identity, that we come shame-free to worship God. We also come full of hope when we come to worship. That glimpse of the future, that is a reminder of that future hope. And Revelation was written to a church under persecution. And if you are going through a struggling time, like I think the church in the West is at the moment, we need to remember our future hope. And then finally, so worship puts God back on the throne, it transforms us. And the next thing, it strengthens us as a community. There's something reassuring about his presence, there's something transforming about his presence, and there's something unifying about his presence. I mean, that is a beautiful picture of a diverse community worshipping God. Just read those verses. Verse 9 is just beautiful, and we want more of that in our church. Worship is also a moment where we stand together and worship. You know, sometimes when you come in and life is difficult, it's sometimes hard to worship. And in those times, I've often been there and maybe unable to sing because I'm so emotional. Sometimes in those moments, I've just borrowed other people's faith. I've let them sing that truth over me, that he is good and that he endures and that he is victorious. I've just sat there and borrowed other people's faith in the moment. And at times I've sung, hoping other people can borrow my faith in the moment for wherever they find themselves in life. I love that picture in Revelation of a community of shameless worshippers. And I love the fact that we get to mirror even a taste of that when we come together and worship together on a Sunday. And can I just encourage you in your group this evening, put aside some time to worship together as a community this evening, a community of shameless worshippers. Thank you very much.